Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado on a very, very cold Denver morning. In fact, we were just up in Anchorage, Alaska, where it was far warmer than it was down here in Denver, Colorado. But today we're going to talk about Christian film. And Christian film has taken off the last number of years, and I'm thankful for it. From time to time, we will rent a Hollywood movie and take a look at what's happening to see if anything's improved since the last time we rented a movie. And I have to tell you, my friends, I'm increasingly disappointed. Seems to me almost every motion picture, I mean, there may be an exception or two out there, but almost every motion picture coming out of Hollywood, anything get out of Redbox, is going to have profanity in it. It's going to have all sorts of profane language. It's going to have people taking God's name in vain, people telling other people that God should damn this or God should damn that, and effectively using God's name very loosely, which means that what you have with the modern apostates that are making movies is some recollection of God, something of God in the back of their mind, but also a willingness to profane his name and to think lightly of him, to speak lightly of him, and that happens all the time in a post-Christian world. And if you're still a Christian, if you're still a Christian and you're watching one of these movies, you're going to be, of course, very upset that the hero or the heroine is commended and thought of to be cool because he's taking God's name in vain while he's blowing the enemies away. And at the end of the movie, you have no idea who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. The good guy takes God's name in vain, commits adultery with impunity, and the bad guy, I guess, molests children. So, you typically have a good guy and a bad guy, but both of them are breaking God's law right and left, and it's rather confusing who the good guy is and who the bad guy is, at least within the worldview framework of the average movie coming out of Hollywood today. And if you're still a Christian, you're going to be a lot upset with what's happening out of Hollywood. Well, that's why the Christian film making industry, I think, is important. And it's an indication that there's still something extant in terms of the Christian faith in the 21st century, and I'm pleased that that's happening, and I'm thankful for what the Kendricks have done and others in the Christian filmmaking industry over the last 10 years or so. Well, now to join me on this edition of the program is Philip Telfer. He is from MediaTalk101.org. He's been on the program before to talk about the corrupting influences of media in our lives, of course, far more influential than it ever has been in the history of the world. And he's also going to talk about the Christian Worldview Film Festival coming up in March of 2014. Philip, welcome back to the Generations broadcast, my friend.
Thank you, Kevin. I'm glad to be on your show again.
You know, Philip, am I correct for whining so much about everything that's coming out of Hollywood? I mean, you know, obviously you're concerned about it, but is there anything good coming out of Hollywood?
Well, I guess another question is, has there ever been anything good coming out of Hollywood? I know that things are getting worse, but things weren't always good from the beginning. In fact, listen to this quote. You might have heard it before. This person writes, "Movies are the rival of churches, the perverter of morals, the tool of greed, the school of crime, the betrayer of innocence. They glorify impurity as love, picture murder as entertainment. They exalt nakedness and indecency as beauty. They show drinking, divorce, reveling, gambling, revenge, and gunfights as proper and legitimate. Movies ruin the spiritual influence of Christians. They debauch the minds of children, inflame the lusts of youth, harden the hearts of sinners. They are a trap for souls, a mocker of God, a curse to America." And that was written by a man named John R. Rice in 1938.
Okay, in 1938. That's a few years ago. That's a few years ago. 1938. Wow. Well, you know, I was thinking over 2.5 hours of a Hollywood movie, they take God's name in vain 25, 35, 45 times. They commit adultery and fornication and so forth in 2.5 hours. In the average person's life, he probably isn't taking God's name in vain quite so often. He's probably not using the F word or the S word as often as what's happening on the screen. It seems like to me that the media is on the front edge of trying to break every possible law of God, trying to get a society to move more and more in the direction of violating every single one of God's commandments. It seems like that culture leads, Hollywood leads, and the rest of society follows. Is that the way you look at it?
Yes. You know, Hollywood is very bold in pushing their agenda. You know, and their agenda is, first of all, to create a world where God doesn't exist. And this is what is so shocking. Like you said, you know, they're trying to create a world where God doesn't exist, and then they turn around and feel it necessary to profane his name and all that's righteous. And, you know, we're told in the scriptures to beware, you know, when people start calling good evil and evil good, and that's what's happening.
Well, in the meantime, we have the Christian film industry that's gotten its start, and it seems like this is a parallel movement. It's not mixed into Hollywood per se. It is a bit of a parallel movement, probably beginning with the Billy Graham films from the 1970s. Give us just a brief survey on the history of Christian involvement in the media or in the film.
Well, you know, I personally was very impacted as a child. You know, the first Christian film I recall seeing was The Hiding Place, and I believe that the Billy Graham Association had something to do with that. And I remember them bringing in the reel-to-reel camera, and they put up the screen, and it was a big deal, you know, as a child. Now, my parents had taken me to a theater before, but to see this film, and that left an indelible impression on my mind, you know, even as a child. But films, actually, some of the early films that were being created were actually played in churches, and they were films about Christ. They were films of stories from the Bible. But what happened is that this was such a popular medium, and because they were being played in churches, you know, people that want to make money and start seeing revenue begin to say, hey, we need to create our own films. We can make money off this. We can appeal to man's carnal nature, but we're going to have to create a venue for that. We've got to get it out of the churches. And so there we have the movie theaters.
Yeah, and it seems to me that secular media is very, very bold, very, very upfront about presenting its agenda in creative ways, excellent ways. But Christians have been less likely to enter the fray and do a good job in bringing their worldview into, well, any part of society, let alone the motion picture.
Well, that's probably what's been most shocking to me of late. It's because early on, you know, when Christians began, like if it was the Billy Graham Association or other organizations, ministries that were producing film, they were doing it to counter, you know, to embed a Christian worldview, to embed the gospel, to promote what they believed in. And so what's shocking to me is the Christian filmmaking movement continues to go forward, there's kind of a divide. And there are people who say, we, you know, Christians, we need to be able to make good films, but we don't have to talk about God. We don't have to talk about the gospel. And certainly that's open for debate, but, you know, what are we here for? You know, what's the Great Commission? What do we have to communicate? And certainly whatever we're communicating, just as Hollywood pushes their agenda, they push their worldview. What is our worldview? Mm-hmm. You know, do Christians have, you know, just tacking on Christ to a film with an essentially secular or secular humanist worldview doesn't make a Christian. And, you know, I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on that, too, because I know I've sat hearing you speak on these subjects, and I've taken notes.
Philip, I have to tell you that, you know, I saw a Hollywood movie the other day. And, you know, I think they probably took God's name in vain 25 times before we turned the thing off. And so I'm thinking, well, now they're really talking about God an awful lot. You know, there seems to be a lot of mentions of God in the Hollywood genre. I mean, they mention God all the time. Of course, what they're saying is, I hate his guts. You know, I know about God and I hate his guts. That's why they take his name in vain. Now, why can't Christians put God in the backdrop as the most significant and important reality, and then create a media where the fear of God is palpable in the entire story? I think it's possible. I think you can do it.
Yes, I agree, and I think we have to look to how God has communicated throughout world history. And of course, we know that one of the primary ways he's created is through prophets. We're told that in Hebrews Chapter 1, that in times past, in various ways, God spoke primarily through prophets. In these last days, he's spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, to me, I think if we're going to have a biblical worldview for filmmaking, first of all, we have to in theaters, you know, before they begin to craft film.
Well, and theatrical arts were employed by the prophets, by God's direction. Isaiah in his underwear for 3 years, Ezekiel burying the clothes as an important theatrical demonstration of what was going to happen to Israel. So I think what you get with prophets sometimes is this incredibly dramatic presentation of the judgment of God upon a people. And then, of course, they come forward and call people to repentance and faith as well. But I think you can make strong prophetic statements by way of the theatrical arts. It's been done before, and I think it should be done again. But I think what's happened with Christian art is it's far too insipid. It's just weak. It's a very, very weak gruel, and sort of like, you know, powdered milk watered down 100 times, and you just don't think you're getting very much out of it. My contention is, I think if Christians believed something more deeply, had a firmer conviction, they would want to present it in a strong way in the theatrical arts, and I would like to see that happen more often.
Yes, in fact, you know, you mentioned Ezekiel, who is one of them. I love to see the theatrics that are displayed, you know, that as God is directing. You know, mm-hmm. he's the producer, he's the director, and he's directing Ezekiel. And one of the things that is really comical was when he has Ezekiel go out and put up a sign to point the Babylonians to Jerusalem to make sure that they don't make a wrong turn when they're coming to destroy it and take them captive. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, it's ominous because there's destruction coming, but that God would have him go do something somewhat funny. You know, it's like, here, this way. We want to make sure you don't take a wrong turn. But once again, a prophetic message is something that's so important, I believe, in this day and age. We need to have people that can understand, first of all, God's heart, how he communicates, and then use these mediums to communicate truth, prophetic truth, that can shake people. Now sometimes, you know, the prophets gave their message, and people didn't come to the theater, so to speak. They didn't buy the tickets. They didn't want the message. But the question is what's right? What are we communicating, what God would have us communicate?
Let's think about what's happened in the last 8 to 10 years, because now coming out of the 70s and 80s, we're starting to see more Christian involvement in the arts. Of course, you had the San Antonio Christian Film Festival for a number of years. The Kendrick brothers have produced some almost practical blockbusters. Colin Gunn, with his documentaries, has done very well. I understand, he's full-time in the production business now. This is a shift from the late 1990s. The last 12, 13, 14 years has made tremendous progress in this area. I mean, I've got to be encouraged. You've got to be encouraged.
Yes, I am. I'm very encouraged. And one of the challenges we have, too, is that there is a need. You know, there are people saying, we would love to have content that honors God, family-friendly, things that provoke good thinking, like documentaries, things that help encourage and teach families and the world. And so there is a growing market for that. They're very profitable. I mean, even the world recognizes, you know, secular humanists, they've done studies that, you know, G-rated movies do get, you know, they profit better than a lot of rated R. Now, that's not always the case, but there are times when you make something that's family-friendly, and then you take that to the next step, you make something that, you know, Christians can get behind. There's quite a large audience out there of Christians. And so I think more and more people are seeing that this is a viable way also, because it's expensive. It's very expensive to make film. It's very challenging to make film. It's quite a craft to learn and quite a dedication that it takes to get involved in that. So there's definitely a learning curve there, and Christians are working hard. It's good to see that movement.
What's interesting, Philip, is that the cost for equipment and technology has come down substantially. What used to cost tens of millions of dollars to produce in terms of equipment in the 1980s and 1990s can now be purchased for, you know, $12,000 or $4,000. So the costs, the equipment costs have come down substantially, but of course the labor costs have remained about the same, adjusted for inflation. So we got to remember that you're still going to need the skill. You're still going to need the craft. You need the education, the abilities to pull these things together and tell the good stories by way of film. But the equipment costs have come down. And because of that, if Christian young people are willing to put the time into it and shape their abilities to the point where they can compete with what's happening out there in the world in the marketplace, then they can effectively, you know, engage this without signing up to the mega production companies in Hollywood and be subject, of course, to their stories and to their worldviews. So in other words, I think what we're seeing is a decentralization of communication and the media. And for that reason, man, I'm really encouraged. I think we have a tremendous opportunity here. It's just we want to make sure that our people are willing to jump in and do the work.
Yes, and you're right. I mean, those are two factors, or three factors there. One is the equipment and the prices have come down. But the other two factors you mentioned are very critical. One is it's a craft, and it does take skill. And there's a need for learning and being mentored and learning that craft. And also, we need to be learning every day, you know, more and more, what it means to have a biblical worldview. And so I believe if Christians that are interested in filmmaking can work on those two areas and continue, you know, in excellence, which means continuing to start, excel from where you're at, moving forward in both a stronger biblical worldview and in the craft of filmmaking. Because when we go back to modern entertainment today, electronic entertainment, the, you know, radio was so popular before television came out, before there were movie theaters, and everybody would sit around and listen to the radio. They loved it. And, you know, the producers in New York and in other areas became so good at telling compelling stories using great script writing, good acting, great music, sound design. And it was so compelling that when television first hit the market, there were people who said, no way, television will not become popular because radio is king. And in fact, nobody's going to sit down and stare at a box, you know, for a couple of hours. They just won't do that. And yet, once they combined the visual with that great skill that they had already accomplished through telling audience stories, then, you know, so that is the kind of excellence that's been going on for 100 years now. And, you know, Christians have a lot of work to do.
Yes.
To develop those skills and to be good storytellers. And I think an example, when you mentioned the Kendricks, you know, you look at their first film, which was Flywheel. And I remember when I watched Flywheel, sure, it was low budget, but it had a great, compelling story. And you just loved it. You know, it was something you could sit down with your family and say, hey, this is great storytelling. And that's also something that we're lacking, you know, because if you have skills, and even if you have some good biblical worldview, you got to be able to tell a good story. And that's what this medium is all about, is telling compelling stories. And so I think the Kendricks have done a great job. They're a good example, good role models for us.
One of the questions that I grapple with, Philip, and I know that you probably grapple with this as well, because you have a Media Talk 101 organization that has tried to deal with the issue of entertaining ourselves to death, you know, which is what's been happening for the last 30, 40, 50 years, especially with the youth. But here's the question in my mind. How important is the motion picture? How important is it to tell the story on the screen versus the preaching of the Word of God, the discipleship of the nations? Where is the importance of this?
Sure. Well, first of all, it needs to be in its right place. It's a broadcast medium. And people forget, you know, when you hear broadcast, I don't know what pops into people's minds, but it's usually not agriculture these days. You know, broadcast has to do with the radio. Broadcast has to do with satellite television. Broadcast has to do with whatever, but broadcast is a term that was borrowed from agriculture, and it has to do with planting seeds. And in fact, Jesus told a story about a broadcaster who said that man went out to sow seed, you know, and he scattered seed. He broadcast it, and some landed here, and some landed there, and some of it was fruitful, and some of it was not fruitful. In fact, you know, out of the seed, it was a smaller number. But we also know that Jesus broadcast. So he did. He spoke to the masses, but he took 12 men, and he spent intimate time with them, discipling them. And even of those 12, he had a group of three. And so he focused on those. So to me, I believe that film is broadcast, and we should use broadcast, whether it's radio, podcasting, websites. You know, if you're as a writer, if you like a blog, those are all different aspects of broadcasting, but it cannot replace the call that we have as Christians to make disciples. And that has to do with person to person. You can't truly effectively disciple someone through a film. It's just one part of a bigger picture. Hmm. And so it has to be put in perspective, in my opinion.
Right. And we should remember also that Jesus Christ told stories all the time, and he had a point to the story, but the stories were metaphoric, and he drew people in by way of the stories. Philip, talk to us a little bit about the film festival that you are working on coming up here in March of 2014. Just give us a little background on why you're doing it and why you think it's important.
Yes. Well, you know, our ministry, Media Talk 101, has been focusing for almost 10 years now on teaching media discernment to consumers. You know, so our main focus has been to reach out to Christians, to encourage them to develop a biblical worldview when it comes to using biblical principles in discerning what should we guard our hearts and minds from, and what kind of media should we consume or not consume based on those principles. So that's been our focus. Now, several years ago, I was invited to attend the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival and Academy, and it was really a blessing, because what I saw there was that the things that they were reaching out to filmmakers, the things that they were teaching, were a lot of the same things we were teaching to the consumer. It was just the other side of the coin. If these things are important for consumers to be careful about, these are also things that the producers should be careful with. And so that's when I became more involved in not only myself getting involved in media production, but also in reaching out to them. So this last year, our ministry has been talking about ways that we could make an intentional effort to reach out to content creators, especially Christian filmmakers. And because, you know, when you're starting a ministry and you're running a ministry where you're warning people a lot about being careful about what you watch, whether it's movies or how you spend your time on the internet, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, or what to do with your smartphone, you know, people think it's just so negative, you know, like, it's always so negative. We're like, we're not trying to be negative. We're just trying to help. So one of the things we thought, wow, to do a film festival would be one way our ministry can demonstrate to the body of Christ we are for godly content creation. We are for Christian filmmaking. We are for Christians using the various arts and mediums that we have available to share with the world and to edify God's body. So that's really the catalyst for moving in this direction.
Hmm. Are you open now for receiving films, film submissions at this point? And what do you expect in the film submissions?
Sure. Well, we are open for film submissions. And the film festival is going to be March 13th through 15th.
Okay.
And we're going to have over 20 filmmaking workshops on the 11th and the 12th. And so we are open for submissions. The website is ChristianWorldviewFilmFestival.com, and there are submission guidelines and directions that people can read. So I don't want to go through all those tedious details now. But what we are looking for, our goal is to, first of all, to encourage Christian filmmakers to pursue excellence in their craft of filmmaking while communicating truth, you know, through a solid biblical worldview. And so this festival is going to provide an excellent opportunity for those filmmakers to showcase their work and also to compete for some prizes as well. And so we're looking for submissions from a wide variety of genres and categories.
Okay.
Some of the typical ones, you know, narrative feature films, documentary films, short films. We have a category for young filmmakers, short films, promotional media, commercials, even music videos. And one of my favorite submissions, awareness and sanctity of life films. So these are a few of the categories that we have. Mm. And we're hoping that we'll receive a lot of submissions that we can sort through and just pick the best to be able to present to the body of Christ. Mm.
Well, Philip, thank you so much for sharing with the vision with us today. We appreciate what you've done over the years. And as you said, it's not just about cursing the darkness. We need to light candles. And that's what you're intending to do with the Christian Worldview Film Festival down in San Antonio, Texas area. And folks, for more information here, it's ChristianWorldviewFilmFestival.com coming up in March of 2014. Again, check it out at ChristianWorldviewFilmFestival.com. Philip Telfer, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We wish the best for you, and we'll pray God's blessings on your efforts.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we continue to encourage Christian involvement in the arts. And I am committed to this, my friends. It's time to light candles. We don't just curse the darkness on this program. We light the candles. And granted, the Christian film industry movement is in its infantile stages. So don't mock at the people who are trying to do the work and don't have the $140 million budgets belonging to Hollywood, okay? Give it a little time and provide a little patience along the way, because this has great potential to do something important, at least for the body of Christ. And it may even have some influence upon the population out there that needs to know Christ. So, Christian film, another way that Christians can express themselves and impact the culture around them. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.